Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 101, Episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries, and especially right now, fuck Fox News.
Eat my shit.
Eat Miles' shit. It's Friday, September 27, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack Cherry Flavored Zeitclaw O'Brien, courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Thank you so much. We are also doing some name AKAs. No singing today. I have to give my vocal cords a break.
What?
This is all Looney Tunes themed AKAs. Here we go. AKA Edie Gonzalez, AKA Pepe Cold Brew, AKA Yeetie Bird, AKA Yosemite Fam, AKA Mr. Lola Bunny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mr.
And welcome to the Exacta crew. Again, Christy Yamaguchi main.
Hell yeah.
Yours was Christy Yamaguchi main.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Double header.
Yeah.
Exacta box. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Mr. Mono Agapian.
Hey, what's up?
Man?
That's me.
That's you.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you back.
Christy Yamaguchi main is a particularly great pun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's on his other shit over there. Don't know his real name. Don't ever want to know it.
Yeah. Never.
Not going to lie.
Probably Todd.
He should have it legally changed.
I would never, if I ever meet him one day, I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what's up, Christy?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll be good like that.
Yeah, I like that. Don't.
His
don't,
real.
Don't, what's it called at Disney? They're like, don't, like, something the magic.
Like, yeah. If fuck you're like, up the magic.
Something like
don't
that.
Don't fuck the magic.
Don't fuck the magic, you pervert.
That is what they say at Disney, right?
Yeah,
they
there's something where
the
they're like.
Imagineers to tell you if a kid is like asking too many questions.
Yes.
Don't fuck the magic,
don't
kid.
Oh, yeah. Fuck the magic. Put your dick away.
I think your fist
preserve
back, like,
the magic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, actually, his given name is Crispy Meme Donut.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's his
right.
handle.
That's his handle. Well, Mono, We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. It's time to blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle.
Hey.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the whistleblower, all that shit. We're going to check in with Jared Holt from Right Wing Watch because I've been curious what's going on, how the right is dealing with this shit.
How the fans are taking it in.
We're going to look at how Trump is dealing with this, which I believe he threatened to have the whistleblower's source murdered.
Nah, possibly? Come on.
I mean, with a wink and a nudge.
Did I say murder?
Right. He didn't explicitly say murder. Yeah. So therefore, ergo, vis-a-vis,
I just said maybe
matter.
Someone should put him in a wet t-shirt contest.
Right.
Because he's leaking.
Right. Wait, what?
That's an old gangster rap intro.
Really?
Yeah. Never mind.
Anyway. Never mind.
Wet t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's kind
of like... Because you're bleeding.
Oh, because you're bleeding. Yeah. I was like picturing a woman who's like lactating.
No.
So it's confused. Kind of like asking...
Violent gangster rap.
Well, speaking of, it's kind of like, I mean, confronting Trump, but it's like asking a serial killer about their murders. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you're not really going to get the... You're not going to get the response you're hoping for or anything that feels human.
It's right. Getting closure from an ex who does not understand you and okay. Their opinion doesn't matter. So why are you looking for it there?
Right. Exactly.
It ain't coming from there.
Because what other people think of you is none of your business.
Thank you. It's our new self-help podcast.
Speaking for not looking for it there, Elizabeth Warren has Wall Street shook.
Shook daddy.
Shook ones part two.
Yeah.
We're
word
gonna
up, son. Word.
Sorry.
Thank you. That sound is iconic. Yeah, it's on my kid lives on the $100 bill.
Hey.
We're going to ask the question, what the fuck was Trump talking about with that server to the when he was talking to the Ukrainian president and the like what was the first thing he brought up?
CrowdStrike.
What is that? Cuz that is a reference to a conspiracy theory that exists in some places. Oh. If we have any time, we'll get to AOC's new plan for inequality, which it seems like the sort of thing in an alternate timeline we would be able to pay attention
yeah.
to.
Yeah,
right. We're going to talk about Chinese technology when it comes to facial recognition technology because it is getting super mega
freaky
good. Begaboss is fighting Screech now. Lenny Dykstra had to back out, but it's still being reffed by cocaine, so there will be
yes.
the cocaine, the human embodiment of cocaine in the ring.
Yes.
In Dwight Gooden.
We're deep cut 80s reference. Yeah.
But first, Mono, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay. Oh, from my search history?
Yes.
Oh, I wrote it down. Oh, I remember what I wrote, what it was. Rorschach is hot.
In the new HBO series?
No, I mean historically, the psychologist Rorschach.
Okay.
Oh shit.
Herman Rorschach uh-huh. is fucking hot.
Really?
Yes. Google Herman Rorschach. The gay internet.
Fuck.
The gay internet was like, wait a second. This old timey person was like, and his haircut.
Motherfucker looked like Brad Pitt.
Yes, he does.
Brad Pitt could play him
and
in a movie.
Look at his
what
haircut.
The fuck?
Why is his haircut so good?
Yo, why is his hair so good?
That's like 1920. I think he was born in 1880.
Yeah, he's like some time traveler.
And
hot
everyone
guy
knows
shit.
People back then fucking stunk and like they like took showers weekly.
But like even his like suit, which is whack, like is like rumpled and like how a cool person would wear it.
Right.
Like the collars.
Oh,
like...
I like how someone literally compared him to Brad Pitt in
yes.
Seven.
Yeah.
Look at that. He's hot. So I've been obsessed with it. The whole Gannernit's losing their mind.
and
theories are going around that he might have not even been that good.
But like the bubble episode?
The bubble.
Right.
Think about it. Like, I think most psychologists are like, oh yeah, like the Rorschach theory is interesting, but it says nothing more than the subconscious exists.
He was just so hot. People were like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
sure,
that's great.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. Whatever
the
you say.
The orange
yeah.
Gatorade chicken is my favorite.
Orange, yes, from 30 Rock.
My orange chicken, I pour orange Gatorade on it.
I'm saying the Rorschach ink blot is orange Gatorade
is
chicken.
The orange Gatorade chicken of psych tests.
Shit, that's a myth too right there.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Myth. Twofer, but yeah, he's really hot.
How did you learn to even have to Google him? Did something come up on
it was
Twitter and you're like, hold up,
it was
on
Instagram.
Got it.
It was on Instagram. It was some stupid funny meme where it was like, you know, like looking at your, like something like when you realize your grandpa might have been hot. Or it was like, something like that. And it was like, just people freaking out that it was Rorschach himself. I was like, that's wild.
Let me tell you what I see when I look in this image.
Right?
A granddaddy.
Well, that is a Hall of Fame search history right there. That was a great search history. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, I wrote that down too. What do I think is overrated? Oh, Succession, the TV show, HBO show.
Yeah.
I only saw the pilot, to be fair, but I'm kind of sick of stories of like over ultra privilege. Mm-hmm. I think there's too much of that in TV, and like Call Me By Your Name, I famously hate, because like even though it poses as like a queer story, it's mostly a story about ultra privilege.
Right.
Hyper intelligent academic. Oh,
right. And that scene where they're like, "Gather around, mother's gonna tell us a story in German." It was like, go fuck yourself. I didn't like that. So yeah, I think Succession was hard for me to get into. People love it. But like for me, I'm just like, I don't need any more stories about the 1%.
Right. The first episode, I felt the same way, but everyone in this office really likes it. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna keep watching. And then I was realizing, like, it's actually a very good critique of that world. I know at times it seems merely a story about that, but the way they've portrayed these people is so cringy. There's one character who, like, embodies the ethos of, like, the Koch brothers.
Right.
Who's basically, there's a scene where he's talking to a black man who's, like, dancing at a charity event, who's stretching behind backstage, and he's, like, this wealthy white guy, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And he's like, the black dude's like, "All right." And he's like, "You know, a lot of people get the wrong idea about me too, you know, because like they just think they, because of who I am, they know what I'm about." And the black dude's like, "Okay," still stretching. And he's like, "You know, I feel like for there to be real equality in this country, we have to completely dismantle the social welfare, like federal support systems in this country." And the guy's like, "I gotta go." But it's like, that's the kind of like white wealthy person who's out here who thinks like, "Let me actually, hey, black guy, let me tell you what my solution is. Let's kneecap welfare."
I think that's what it is. People.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's me just too. Important to keep in mind that every single one of these people would be saying, you know, "I'm a Democrat, but if you nominate Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, I'm going to have to vote for Trump and support him with my money."
Right.
Like, that's who we're talking. That's who we're dealing
but
with.
But it's funny. The thing that makes me feel like it's a little overrated, I was at a party recently and this dude was drunk.
Yeah.
Of the Caucasian persuasion. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yo, put the Succession theme song on," screaming for it. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know about this." And then like put it on and he was like, "Oh, fuck, this shit's so bad." And I was like, "Yo, this is like, it's like trap music for the 1%ers." It's like what that theme song does to people.
I do have to say, I've had complicated conversations myself with recently a lot of white women on like mixed privilege. And it's always like, it always turns bad because it turns into the pain Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, "I'm brown and queer. Yes, but I'm a white woman." And I'm like, okay, great. We're all suffering.
Race to the bottom.
To the bottom. Yeah. And yeah, I've had some really problematic conversations that are reminding me of this thing you're talking about. So yeah, I'll watch Succession.
Yeah, and I get it, but it's like anything, right? If the most pilots aren't that great.
Yeah.
Typically.
There's only impossible.
A few shows where I can be like, that pilot was good.
Yeah, right, I agree.
The Shield. One of the best pilots.
Really?
I'll say that every day.
Yeah. And sometimes the pilot's too good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best episode they ever did.
Right, keep watching like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
The pilot could have been a movie. Leftovers. The pilot was fucking fire.
Oh, really?
Maybe Wall
Walking
Street.
Dead?
Yeah.
Controversial.
The pilot of
Walking Dead is too good.
Yeah, well, when Frank Darabont was doing it, that's when I watched it. And then when he walked, I was like, I'm good.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm also not that into zombies.
Right.
Unless they're in video games.
But I do feel like these movies about rich people, like Wall Street with Michael Douglas, like Gordon Gekko became this icon of like people who want to go onto Wall Street, make a lot of money. But like that was also supposed to be a critique of Wall Street. So
right.
like stop
right.
giving these problematic dudes like icons
that, is true,
that they can identify with.
And that's where like I don't like Roman,
yeah.
that character, because I'm like, there are people who are going to think this shit is tight.
Right,
and
right.
Roman's objectively a piece of shit.
Right.
And like one of the, which Culkin brother? Kieran? Culkin?
Kieran.
Yeah. Where I'm like, I can see a lot of people thinking this dude's cool when the real issue is like, this is actually a disgusting person. So
right.
I do kind of see, yeah,
well. I'm also an asshole and I think about just the power structure and the people getting jobs and getting these high paying right. HBO jobs are still white men.
Right.
I just think that's very interesting. They're like, oh, we're telling these stories that, oh, could only be told by a bunch of white people.
Right.
I think that we can poke some more holes in that. Or just let's do it about a rich family of color. Let's do it. Like, yeah, there's no reason why you couldn't.
That's right. Called Empire.
Thank you.
What is something you think is underrated?
Christina Applegate.
Okay. Her takes on the Emmy purple carpet?
I think she's so good. I saw Dead to Me. I saw the whole whatever was on Netflix, the first season. And I think she's so good. I think she's like... If you watch it, she's both the funniest actress and the best actress I've ever seen. I've never seen anyone be that good at both so simultaneously all the time.
Yeah.
And I think she's kind of underrated.
Yeah. I love that take. And she completely carried herself like a queen on the purple carpet.
What happened on the purple carpet?
Jenny McCarthy like was Uh-oh. Just like... not informed about, she was like, oh, so it's your first nomination, and she was like, actually third,
uh-huh.
but like told her and was just handled it perfectly. And then one of the other E people was like, oh, let's say hi to your, I forget what, if it was like her husband, and she was like, oh, but he wouldn't be watching E.
Shade.
Also, when Jenny McCarthy is like, I wanted to grow up to be you. Yeah. It's like, motherfucker, we're a year different.
That.
What
yeah.
you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's deep.
And she, when you really actually, like, her career is very, it's long, and she's had such an evolution, right?
Totally.
From being one-dimensionally this, like, sex object as Kelly.
But she was right.
good. She was good.
That performance
but
was
in
underrated.
The 90s, that was just considered, like, you know, the thing was she came on, everyone was like, woo!
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yes.
And then like
so
she did.
Don't tell mom the baby's
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, a little bit.
Amazing.
Added more depth.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then, you know, I'm just glad
Anchorman.
She was. Yeah, Anchorman,
through.
Incredible.
And did she have a bout with breast cancer too?
She did.
Wow.
She,
The Sweetest Thing. She was also great.
She was great in The Sweetest Thing.
Something else I'm forgetting.
But like in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, like she really like carries that movie. She's
Absolutely.
A leading lady.
She was in Friends.
At age 17.
She
know,
was
whatever.
In Friends.
What wasn't she in?
I know.
I'm right on top of that, Rose. so good.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, okay. Here, I wrote down. Okay. I'm a skeptic. I'm a paranormal skeptic who has seen a ghost.
Okay.
So I guess the myth I want to bust is like, you can be a skeptic and still see crazy shit.
Okay,
wait, hold on now. Let's rewind that. Now tell your ghost story.
Okay, here it is in a nutshell. Okay, so I was in Greece years ago, Ooh. And I was staying in my brother-in-law's like house he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very like humble Greek shack. It was like one of those just those white concrete huts you see mm-hmm. on a poster. And they only had two rooms. It had like, it was like basically two rooms and a hallway. And I was staying in his old bedroom. My old brother-in-law's bedroom. So I go to sleep. I have a fit of sleep paralysis. And I see a smoky figure in the doorway who looks to be a person, except their hands drag to the floor.
Whoa.
And to the point where the back of their hands touch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, it's a nightmare. I was still terrified because I had that weird sleep paralysis
right.
where you can't move.
Yeah.
So I remember like turning over after being able to and like remembering like I'm not moving again until it is bright out.
Right.
Because for whatever reason I felt scared of this thing. It felt trapped between a dream and real life. It was weird. So, but the next day I wake up and I'm like, whatever, it was a dream. I don't think too much of it. My brother-in-law, who I was with at the time, he does investigate and he's like, "Oh, how'd you sleep? How are you doing?" And I was like, "Eh, I didn't sleep great. I had nightmares." He immediately goes into a dresser drawer in the room I slept in and pulls out an old notebook of pictures he drew as a child and shows
me fuck out of here.
A picture of the dark.
With the knuckles on the ground?
Smoky figure with the knuckles
Shut
on the ground. And he says, did you see him? And I was like, no!
Nah, he's fucking with you. I would do masterful prank. You that's pre-make impossible. A book. You pre-make a book of sketches, and then you fuck with Mano while he's sleeping.
Oh, so
and then
you dress up.
I'd be like, hold up. Was it this in the book?
Right.
I drew this.
It's a good prank.
If it was, but see, that's where my skeptic would come in. Because look, I would do some. I mean, not that I would, but I might do some shit like that.
Well, but
see,
you would need like a huge special effects budget.
But the smoky part,
Well, I'm still a skeptic because I'm like, you know, that could be explained in a number of different ways.
Sure.
I mean, sleep paralysis has commonalities. You know what I mean? Like even the way people envision ghosts or anxiety is similar in dreams.
Yeah.
Like there's a way around it.
For sure.
But
at the same
today,
time, you're like, hold up, man, that motherfucker had his knuckles on the ground.
Exactly. Well, what's weird about it, what I forgot because it was too long, was like, there was a history of weird stuff on the property because his father was a goat butcherer. So there was a history of like tortured animals on this property. Mm. Isn't that fucked up? Yeah. So I even went into it feeling uneasy. So maybe that's an element too.
Yeah, goats are creepy.
Very creepy.
Goats
and
are
so connected to like pagan
like
it's them eyes,
the I think there's a goat.
Yeah,
like you're saying, there's probably a logical way to explain it, but like that's how I kind of feel about like God stuff and like agnosticism is is like the whether it's like a piece of the human mind that like we don't have access to or not, like it's still miraculous. Like the human mind is miraculous.
Yeah.
The possibility that there is an explanation, but we just don't understand it is still, that's still so mysterious and interesting that like I don't necessarily feel like, you know, distinguishing between whether it's God or something else that we can understand is it matters all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are miracles all around us, especially here on Earth. We see moments where your eyes open up and you see the magic of the planet. You know, when I was in Florence, Italy, I firsthand felt the presence of a god that I hadn't before. So in a way, I do understand. Maybe ghosts are real.
Was it Zeus?
Whoa.
No, Zeus isn't a Roman god.
It was David's tiny dick.
David's tiny dick.
Or 3 feet, whatever
Jupiter.
It is, because he's 17 feet tall.
Jupiter is Zeus.
Right.
Yeah.
Jupiter's
the Roman Zeus.
The Roman. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to blow that whistle.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and you guys, the news is coming so fast and furious.
It's fast and furious. Fate of the Furious.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, I think Too Short knows what to do. Blow the whistle. Woo! Okay, so the whistleblower saga continues. Yep. Rolling on to what, the fucking ninth day of this shit, or however many days it's been. News has been coming an obscenely fast rate, I just have to say.
Yes.
The constant amount of things, like, I'm just like, oh, okay, so the House is unanimously voting to release this material.
Right.
Oh, there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. So we're not going to be, like, reporting news to you. We're just going to be reacting to the news that we assume you already know.
Right. So by the time you hear, what, it's Friday morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday, DNI McGuire, acting DNI, went to go testify in front of the House Intel Committee. And just to terribly explain what the fuck happened, it was half like him being honorable, half him not wanting to cross the president in a really cringy way.
Right.
And then it was your usual shit. Republicans were like, oh, I'm so sorry that you had to come down here because
right.
You're in the military for 40 years. And I will use that advantageously when I'm trying to shield you from wrongdoing to bring up your service in the military, but also do y'all really wrong when it comes to veteran care. Anyway, that's a whole other point. But thank you so much. I know you're above. Your reputation is squeaky clean. I'm so sorry they're doing this. And then Democrats being like, okay, here are our questions.
Right.
And these are the main questions, right? Because at this point, the full-blown whistleblower complaint had also been released, but the timing was a little fucked because, like, they got it, like, fucking maybe during or maybe moments before
right.
this testimony. So they couldn't really hammer down. But they did a pretty good job. I think
the whistleblower complaint appears to indicate that there was a cover-up.
Cover-up and multiple cover-ups.
Yes.
See, that's the thing. Okay, so right now we've been very focused on, because of what, as far as we know, this call to the Ukrainian president to basically say, hey, I got your fucking military aid to fight Putin. I could trash this shit if you don't play ball with me and investigate
right.
Joe Biden, so I have some dirt.
Right. Perfect.
DNI McGuire was basically saying, like, he said out loud he doesn't think anything that the whistleblower did was wrong, believed they did the right thing and the legal thing. That's an interesting point to make because that's the objective truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting something a little bit more obscure. But then here's the thing. We have real questions now about DNI McGuire. So the protocol is a whistleblower blows the whistle, boop, boop, boop. Thank you. And then takes that to the Intelligence Community Inspector General. They vet that complaint, and then it was found to be credible and urgent. That goes to DNI McGuire, who then has 7 days to give it to Congress so they can fucking check it out.
How long ago was that? More than 7 days?
A long-ass time.
Huh.
The problem is, this motherfucker, he gets the complaint, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Right.
He goes to
the
White
House. The guy who hired me won't exist if I give this to Congress.
Right. He's like, this is about my boss. So
right.
he's, and it's true. It's unprecedented that this is this kind of whistleblower complaint. Typically, it's about other people that intelligence officials work with, but this was new. So in his mind, this is what he says. He said, I didn't know what the fuck to do with it. That's why I went to the White House counsel first and then the DOJ because I was like, what the what do I do here? Okay. Like, if you want to be, the cynical point of view is he's a company guy who is saying, like, look, bro, this is bad. Y'all need to, I'm giving you the heads up to what to do with this because if I follow protocol, your man's fucked.
Right.
Or the version, if you want to be very optimistic, is he was only in the job for 6 weeks at this point.
Right.
He doesn't know what the fuck is going on. He gets this shit. Has nothing to do with his time there.
Right.
He's like, what the, y'all,
what the
I'm dealing
fuck
with
are
this.
You doing?
So yeah. I don't know how to look at it. Either way, he fucked up.
Right.
That's not what he was supposed to do. So what the fuck happened there? Like, how would you take a complaint about somebody and go ask the people who are the subjects of the complaint?
Right.
You know? Then we have other questions, or that we find out through this complaint that there were people in the White House who were taking these transcripts and moving them to a server where they typically put the most highly classified information and material.
Hmm.
Typically, all these calls, they're broadly circulated because they need people. Like, if you're working on a certain group within the White House that works in like politics dealing with Russia or Ukraine, if those interests intersect, then you're going to receive that call because you need to know what direction the ship is moving.
So this isn't after the whistleblower complaint. This is
part of the complaint.
So they know something fucked up is happening.
Yes.
They're taking it, putting it like in a secret box somewhere.
Right. So what happened was that transcript comes out of the Ukraine call and a lot of people are like, or was this dude for real?
Yo.
After that, suddenly, we moved that shit to the classified server. Nobody can see it except for the 12 people or whatever, however many people saw it first. Uh-huh. So now we're dealing with them. There's a practice within the White House to move these calls. Who knows? We've seen how he acts with Putin and other people. Could be fucking MBS, could be fucking Erdogan, whatever. That, what the fuck? Now you're just punting this shit and putting in the vault to protect yourself, to shield yourself from accountability. This is fucking terrible.
Mm.
I mean, and this is also kind of upsets me too, because there have been so many other terrible things happening. Sadly, because we don't have laws that are saying like, hey, mistreating people and like, you know, trying to do like light genocide at the border is illegal. Mm. That this is the kind of shit we have to use to, like, you know, try and possibly hold him accountable.
Talking some IRS Al Capone shit.
Yeah. And then we also find out, also Bill Barr's ass is on the hook too, because the DOJ failed to act twice when they got two criminal referrals about this shit. They're like, nah, it ain't. It's good.
About this specific instance.
About this call, yes. And then the whistleblower complaint, they're like, it's all good. We don't need to do nothing about it.
Huh.
My man is named, Trump is like, talk to Rudy Giuliani and Bill Barr.
Right.
Fucking all the time deal with these motherfuckers to do this shit. And then also, another thing happened yesterday, because the news is constant. Why did Trump throw Mike Pence under the bus?
Okay, so I had missed this.
Yeah.
Amid all the other news.
Me too.
What happened?
Educate
During
me.
His fucking, you know, 3-hour jazz solo at the UN General Assembly, he literally goes, I think you should ask for Vice President Pence's conversation, because he had a couple of conversations also.
What?
And then he goes, I could save you a lot of time. They were all perfect. Nothing was mentioned of any import or other than congratulations. My man.
Right.
This is the shit when it gets messy. You know, when like kids get in trouble, like in high school, like you think everyone has each other's back. One person gets in trouble and they're like, I don't know. Maybe you should ask them what happened too. I don't know. I'm getting in trouble.
Yeah. Because they didn't do anything also. But yeah. You should ask them.
But you should ask. And even if you did, they would be like, nothing happened. So therefore, I'm getting expelled, huh?
This is getting very Donnie Brasco.
Yeah, it's
like just, very like the criminals pointing fingers at
everybody's got guns the pointed house. At each other, like a Mexican standoff at the end of Reservoir Dogs. I believe Trump threatened to have the whistleblower's source murdered in a meeting with diplomats yesterday, whose mouths are presumably still agape. Trump seemed to, there's a reference to your last name.
Agape. Thank you.
Or the church, agape. The weird church, agape.
Thank you, all part of my name, register, trademarked, copyrighted.
Trump seemed to imply that it's a shame he can't make certain things happen to people who are fucking up his shit. So I'm just going to read straight from the article.
Please.
Because it's so wild. President Trump on Thursday morning told a crowd of staff from the United States mission to the United Nations that he wants to know who provided information to a whistleblower about his phone call with the president of Ukraine, saying that whoever did so was, quote, close to a spy, and that, quote, in the old days, spies were dealt with differently. Quote, I want to know who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart with spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
What the fuck? Look, this is like you getting caught cheating and your girl's like, motherfucker, you cheating. And then like, and then you go, who the fuck told you? How did you find out?
Yeah.
Who told, I should fuck them up.
Right. Yeah.
They spilling all my business. You fuck that fucking rat ass mother. Hold on. You're cheating.
Right. That's your
way to redirect that shit real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not, he's not denying that shit. This is what it looks like. It's not, that's completely untrue. It's like, yo, man, we got some rats in here
trying
to fucking hold me accountable. Y'all believe this shit? But I'm going to call them spies.
Yeah, it gives me like little brother vibes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you're like, you're just that, you're like your little brother throwing your other brother under the bus.
Taking y'all down with me.
Right.
Basil lied though, because he told me he wouldn't tell, so he's a liar.
Right.
So let's talk about that.
No, here's the deal, Ma. You're all in the same conspiracy together.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it only gets, it's only like, it's, it gets thicker and gooier and muckier every day.
It's so fucked up. It's like, I don't, like you said, like, I don't know what to focus on.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm in a Circuit City, and all the TVs are playing something different.
Shout out to the dead brand Circuit City. Rest in peace. I think that was 2009. It finally
perished. Rest in peace.
I remember because I had a Circuit City gift card that I could not use.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I fucked up.
That's
anyway,
fucked up.
We
play
digress.
Some Sarah McLachlan right
you
here.
You blew it.
Where service is state of the art, my ass. That used to
anymore.
Be the slogan, right?
Yeah.
yes.
So.
Welcome to Circuit City, where service is state of the art. And the, the whole thing
and
was
the
a
building
plug.
Plugged. Yeah. Right.
Somebody
unplugged that shit. So, yeah, and we talked yesterday about how his approval rating seemed to be going up. We're speculating as to why that could be. Nate Silver finally like started writing about, you know, his analysis, and he didn't really acknowledge even that like slight blip upwards, but that has now kind of reversed itself. It seems to be going down slightly. We don't know yet what the overall approval rating is going to be. We are going to check in with
We can't look at a poll, a YouGov poll that came out that said 55% of Americans support impeachment if President Trump did in fact push Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden, which in fact he did.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's 55% of Americans.
America. 22% of Republicans strongly support impeachment, if that's true, which is interesting.
Here's what I'm scared of, though, because the people who would answer to that poll are not the same people who elected him.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, again, polls are, you know, there's
the
not
people who elected
you
him
can't rely on
can't
them.
Read.
I think
so,
the bigger concern is that I don't know who the fuck in the Senate is going to make that vote. There was a thing that a senator very candidly said, if the vote was secret, I got 30 motherfuckers on deck that would vote to impeach.
That's fun.
But
that's fun.
That can't happen. Right. I wish it could, if that's what they need to do the fucking right thing. But at the same time, like you need to also stand and be counted in these moments and make your point clear. Don't hide behind, you know, ambiguity to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Spike Lee.
I don't think the only thing I'm scared of, like, I hope this works, but I just feel like we're it's Nightmare on Elm Street 29. You know what I mean? Like, we've had so many. We know the killer comes back in every fucking movie.
He really does. And I mean, his whole, like, this was a strategy releasing the transcript. A lot of Republicans were like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why? Like, you just released a transcript of you doing a crime like that would get you impeached if you were a normal politician. But Trump and like people inside his campaign, they just have this mentality that like, yeah, just rip it off, rip off the Band-Aid, get ahead of it. Like, we're just admit you did the crime. And because you're so open about it, people like it's an active part of their strategy. Like they were watching the Nancy Pelosi speech announcing the impeachment and were like cheering and like happy because they thought that it was going to backfire on the Democrats.
But they did. But that's also his bluster, right? His bully shit where he's like, you ain't going to fucking punch me, motherfucker.
Right.
I'll crush you. So
right.
you get smacked in your mouth and you're crying and calling for your mother. That's typical shit.
Yeah.
It's the... I dare you. I dare you.
Yes.
And now people are starting to step to him. And look at the shit he's saying. Look,
did anyone watch My Brother and Me on Nickelodeon?
No. I know the show, but I did not watch it.
It's a pivotal episode where they're like, I know what you do. You confront your bully and you say, hit me. and of course, it's classic sitcom gold where he says, hit me. And he gets his
hit.
Ass beat up.
Right.
Guys, My Brother and Me was great. Okay.
But there was a funny thing, too, is a lot of the aides... Many people like Mnuchin and I feel like Pompeo, someone else told do not release the transcript.
Right. Yeah.
And some aides
unanimous.
Were. And when they did it, they were like, some people instantly regretted it right after. They're like, oh, wait, no. We thought maybe this was the move. It wasn't it.
Right. Because, I mean, yeah, it seems kind of in keeping with them just having, you know, Trump's interpretation of that transcript is going to be totally different from everybody else's. All right. Well, we also want to check in with how the right is dealing with this overall, not just in polls, but kind of boots on the ground. What is being said on the right in terms of how they're dealing with this information?
So let's check in with our man, Jared Holt from Right Wing Watch. This is somebody who his whole life's work at the moment is based on monitoring the kinds of comings and goings on the far right. So who better to give us a little peek on what they're thinking?
Jared, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I feel like I'm certainly doing a lot better than some of the president's defenders online right now. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. I mean, like in the past, I feel like with the Russia stuff, there were parts of the, I guess, accusations that it was easy for the conservatives to sort of maneuver around and try and act like nothing was really going on, even though it stunk like shit. This time, it seems very aggressively bad, objectively terrible. So yeah, like what's the temperature on that side of the aisle?
Yeah, Miles, I think you're spot on. You know, like in the prior sort of news cycles we've had about this Russia investigation stuff, there were still enough questions that were left unanswered that there was enough room, I think, for some of these right-wing and like pro-Trump people to be able to maneuver around and try to cast at least an amount of doubt on the whole thing that wasn't like it was harder to disprove. But with this, we've got hard documents. We've got, you know, this whistleblower complaint. And it's, it really seems like they're backed into a corner. Sort of the main rebuttal that you're hearing is like, well, this doesn't prove anything. But I feel like there's probably a lot of people voting in the House pretty soon that would beg to differ.
But are you seeing people in like in the section, the comment sections, the forums that you pay attention to, who are saying, wow, this has convinced me. I was with him up to this point, but now my mind has been changed. Because like I really feel like, you know, Nate Silver claimed that, said reading the transcript and then looking at his Twitter feed took him back to the Yanni Laurel thing, where it was like people were just hearing completely different things. And like, the LA Times today was interviewing people in different cities across the country. And there were a lot of Trump supporters who were like, you know, Trump getting elected was a revolution and the establishment was not ready for it. And so they're going to do anything they can to take him down. Like, it seems like there are still people, like a lot of the people who have always supported him are going to find a way to keep doing that. Are you seeing that, or have you seen evidence that there is like a tiny sliver that is breaking off now and being like, wow, this, I guess you guys were right all along?
Yeah, so I have seen there is like a sliver of the right that is starting to sort of take a step back and be like, well, you know what? Let's be honest, this looks pretty fucking terrible. But that sliver is among a sliver of conservatives that have been, you know, less ardent supporters of the president. Among the president's, you know, devoted base, it really is like this big allegation that, you know, this is just further proof that the deep state is working to undermine the president. And, you know, what more proof do you need than a whistleblower, you know, working inside the system with the media to destroy the president?
Right.
And I think what's important to sort of understand here is that because of the rhetoric and conspiracy theories and that sort of thing that come out of, you know, Fox News and out of the president's mouth and Twitter feed, that there, it's been going on long enough that there's almost like a different set of reality parameters that these people are operating under, in which everything can get folded back into that general premise that's put out, which is that the government, the intelligence agencies, the media see Trump as an insurgent and are working diligently to undermine him and discredit him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be that base. I think people keep you know, wanting this to be Watergate. I think anyone who's recognized he's incredibly corrupt, he's probably more corrupt or at least far worse at corruption than Nixon, has had this idea that we're going to get some piece of evidence that's going to be irrefutable, but there, it's never going to be Watergate, because if Watergate happened today, you know, a lot of the people, first of all, wouldn't read Woodward and Bernstein, or they would think they were doing the bidding of like a globalist slash Jewish conspiracy headed by George Soros. Like, it's we're dealing with people who are not going to go down without, hopefully not literally, but possibly literally, a fight.
Well, it's like any fan base, right, where the object of your fandom or your obsession or whatever becomes intertwined with your own identity, and you're unable to, let's like look at like Woody Allen fans,
or like R. Kelly fans. I was going to say Mel Gibson.
Yeah, anyone who is clearly like, yo, I'm, if you look at what's out
Chris
there, this
Brown.
Shit looks terrible. Oh my, exactly,
yeah.
Chris Brown. But again, for people like that, it's like, well, if I put that away, then I'm putting part of myself away.
Right.
And I cannot, and that's a jump that most people are not able to sort of engage in, that level of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So on the subconscious is saying, no, ain't nothing wrong here. Because mm-hmm. then that would mean something's wrong with me.
Tied up in ego. It's like, because once you have to agree that there's something bigger than yourself.
Right.
People hate that.
So all these people need to take LSD.
I think the liberal dream is that, like, through facts and logic and rigorous debate, we're going to, like, bring all these people out of the void. But unfortunately, as, like, cynical as it sounds, I feel like people who, you know, want to push back against all of this stuff are just going to have to, like, at some point, count some people as lost causes and sort of hope that they come to their own at some point.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, there's still a portion of the conservative base that thought that Nixon got railroaded by Watergate. So, I mean, it's not completely new. But what are you hearing from those people who are refusing to accept this reality? Like, what are they saying, like, they should do about this? Or are they saying that Trump's just going to figure out a way out of this? What's going on in the fan fiction that they're creating around this?
Well, I mean, thankfully, I don't have to imagine it too hard, because the White House yesterday sent out a set of talking points to all of its defenders.
Right.
That was also received by some Democrats in the House and then given out to the press. And they really have pretty much stuck to this. You know, the first bullet point on here is the nasty Daily Zeitgeist is making false claims about the call. Disgusting, unfair, was
right.
never fair.
Yes.
you know, essentially claiming that the media got a hold or took a look or heard about this whistleblower complaint and made all these false claims of quid pro quo. That the president said nothing improper on the call. Why would he release this memo about the call if he had done something wrong? That the real scandal is the fake news about. and that, you know, it's another example of the deep state destroying the country, and that the whistleblower complaint was handled by the book. It sort of covers all the bases, and we haven't seen too much imagination really expand beyond these points. Some stuff I have seen sort of crop up today is mentions of how the U.S. government and Ukraine have this working relationship where, you know, if we're looking at criminal stuff involving Ukraine, Ukraine helps us out and vice versa. We have these relationships with a lot of governments around the world, and it doesn't really... Like it doesn't really work here. You kind of have to, like, willfully misunderstand exactly what those agreements mean to sort of get on with it. But it really is, in my opinion, this concerted effort at multiple levels, everywhere from Fox News to fucking 4chan, to try to create some sort of alternate explanation of, like, why this is fine. It's that meme from years ago of that dog sitting in the house that's on fire, drinking coffee, saying, this is fine. That is the response.
Fine. I mean, so there were clips during the when things looked particularly bleak for Trump during like the Mueller investigation and news kind of trickling out about that. I've heard Alex Jones talk about how, like, you know, if you try to remove Trump from the White House, there's going to be it's going to be bad for you because we are armed and you're not. Like, are you seeing shit like that? That's like that scares you at all?
You know, anytime these circles start talking about, you know, a coup against the president, it sort of brings me back to literature I've studied and reports I've studied in my work about sovereign citizen movements and about sort of what sets them off. I, you know, can't predict the future. I certainly hope that, you know, these people don't start, you know, very seriously considering violence in response to this. But I do think that it is not possible to rule it out as something that could happen, right. Which is unfortunate to say.
Yeah,
I have a weird question. In a world where he does get impeached, let's say it's even towards, you know, it gets really close to election day, he gets impeached. Would Mike Pence become the primary person on the ticket, or would like what would happen in that situation where he gets impeached and election day's a couple months away or even less? Who knows?
I'm not sure how that works for election stuff, but if he were to be impeached, if historical precedent is any indication, which it doesn't seem to be nowadays, but in right. theory, if we look at this, he would more likely resign right before instead of going through an impeachment.
Right.
If it got to that point, and then Mike Pence would be almost immediately sworn in as president.
So yeah, it's totally unprecedented to
especially with this kind of timing too.
Right. Yeah. With the election coming up. So it would be, you know, that they would be making it up as they went.
Or if you're going off the liberal dreamscape, it's President Pelosi.
Right. Right. So it goes
when you sell those people on Twitter who are like, "Can you imagine?" I'm like, "No, I can't. I cannot."
Yeah, yeah, it's President Pelosi folding jewel pods into universal healthcare.
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting very Guillermo del Toro,
right, like right.
fantasy mythical ending.
Right, exactly.
Well, thanks, Jared, for taking the time to join us and give us a look into the bleak landscape that you report on.
Oh yeah, it's always a pleasure to join the Zeit Gang.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jared, man. Where can people, you know, find your work, because it's all over the place? You're available Twitter form, podcast form, written form.
Oh yeah, hit me up on Twitter, Jared L. Holt. Got a podcast. It's called Shitpost, and I write pretty much every day at rightwingwatch.org.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and CNBC is reporting, they've been talking to some different high-dollar Democratic donors on Wall Street, some of the big, you know, big-money Wall Street people who Hillary Clinton got donations from back in the day, and,
Was that? The before time?
Before
when the world was
when history was moving in a linear fashion,
right, when the earth was
a sphere and not flat,
exactly. But so they've been talking to them and found that a widely shared opinion among Democrats, Democratic donors, quote unquote, is that if Elizabeth Warren is the nominee, that they'll have to either sit this election out or support Donald Trump. A quote from one of these donors who wished to, he's a senior private equity executive.
Yeah.
Who spoke on the condition of anonymity and fear of retribution.
That job title should be money, financial guy.
I will speak on the condition of bitch assness.
Right.
This is a fucking wow.
This quote is great. You're in a box because you're a Democrat and you're thinking, I want to help the party, but she's going to hurt me. So I'm going to help President Trump. Please keep in mind that these people are talking, when they're talking about Warren trying to, quote, hurt them, they're talking about her marginally affecting their obscene, unethical levels of wealth.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're going.
That's
going to
hurt me.
Back
though.
An authoritarian racist in retribution for the American system coming after, you know, at most half of their tens of millions of dollars that they earned
and
by manipulating numbers.
Aspects.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how they all are just like, well, it's probably not going to be Bernie,
right?
So their focus now is completely on Elizabeth Warren because either one of them are coming to take the biggest bite out your ass,
right?
And that's, man, this is so fucking upsetting.
This
and
is going
to
be
also
fun.
Let people know, right, to really underline what the dynamics are in this country.
Right.
It's not left or right.
Right.
It is fucking money versus no money.
Right.
Or it's hyper wealth versus people who are trying to create equitable society.
Yes. Right.
Those are the dynamics. I know it gets obscured and we add all these other layers to shit to think it's not that, but it's top versus bottom.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers, they have all...
That doesn't work well in a gay bar.
And we need to be power bottoms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
And we need to rise the fuck up. But this is the thing. It's so disgusting to me. If this is, in fact, the case, I hope all of these motherfuckers are named and fucking shamed, dragged through the fucking mud, because they don't give a fuck about anything except themselves. And this is why we really, really need to get behind candidates who are going to actually speak this kind of truth to power, because that's really what the fucking game is.
Right.
And they're mad because they're like, she about to fucking expose the game.
Right.
We can't do that. Right. It was easier when we'd be like, man, we got these, the tariffs are fucking people up, or immigrant, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And not, you know, a handful of people who are just hoovering up the wealth and concentrating at the top.
Yes. I mean, the fact that they're willing to go Trump over.
Disgusting. Because again, that shows you even the level of insulation these people have from reality, right?
Right.
They probably don't know a single person who is probably struggling, person of color, immigrant, LGBTQ, any marginalized group. They're so probably the pains of these groups are so abstract to them. It doesn't matter. They're like, well, who do I put my, which little box do I drop my check into?
Yeah. Right.
Because none of these people are real to me. Yeah. Or if they do, they're like, are you kidding me? Like, I treat my housekeeper really well.
Right. Uh-huh.
I helped her buy a house.
So
I'll vote for Trump.
Somebody who did like an analysis of the class system in America, which we pretend doesn't exist, but totally exists, was saying that people, like, you know about the class level right above you and the class level below you, and then you think everything else is, like, fictional.
Right, right, right. So, or something, like, from TV.
Right. So people who, you know, are in the middle class don't even realize that these people exist because they don't come into contact with these, like, hyper-wealthy, like...
Well, and that's the other thing, because we have such, like...
nightmare humans.
Cities are segregated by not even race, but by class, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you live in fucking Beverly Hills...
Elysium is real.
You've never seen somebody who maybe is struggling to pay their bills and needs an extension cord from their neighbor's house to, like, power a coffee pot to have warm water or something like that. Like, that's real shit. And I think this speaks to the heartlessness of this class of people. And that's why I'm like, yo, I'm all behind taking everything from these fucking people.
Yeah.
Because there are too many people who have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's never been scarier. And it's just like, at this point, it's either like, share your $1 million mm-hmm. or the world's gonna blow up.
Right. Right.
You know, like, what shit.
What
the fuck? What do you like? And I think it's never been so clear and apparent that, like, they're just, there's not that much you can do with that much more money.
Yeah.
Psychologists have proven that, like, your happiness is not elevated past a certain number of
figures.
Yeah,
it's like $150,000 or something. Yeah.
Wait, what? What do you mean? What's...
They did a analysis where it's like, if you make $150,000 a year, like, any increase in wealth over that, like, doesn't increase your happiness.
Right.
Oh, right. It just means the flex gets more obscene.
Right, because your fundamental needs are met. And there's at that point, you're just, like, buying bigger Gulf Streams. Like, but that doesn't, like, we know as humans that
doesn't make you happier. Well, I need one in gold, and I need one in platinum.
Yeah. Right, for Sundays.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. I wish I had a more articulate, it so articulately, but yeah, it's fucked.
It's fucked.
And again, to see that kind of real, I mean, again, there's so many people who identify as maybe left or right or whatever, mm-hmm. but clearly it's top 1% or fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Money is really fucking us up lately. And, like, I think just we as humans, like, as mammals, we're, like, all about self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything is so money driven, we see that as self-preservation. So it's like, it's easy to want to hold on to your fucking money.
Right.
Even if
you couldn't even spend it at a rate that made sense.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. It's very strange. So I think that's why humans ultimately are so driven by that. It's really scary, though.
I feel like I was going to come up with another one of my draconian solutions to class warfare, but... I'm going to think about it a little more.
Okay.
I feel like if you want to keep your money, like, you should have to, like, fight 3 broke people for it.
I like that. I like that.
And if you can get fucking, like, just brolic enough in the gym to fight three fucking people, then yeah, maybe you deserve to keep that money.
Yeah, but that my new gladiator the sort shit. Of, that encourages, like, those tech bro survivalists who are like,
right. I got to be able to fight the 3 people to keep my wealth.
No, for real. They're getting LASIK eye surgery to like prepare for the apocalypse because they're like, well, my glasses might break, and they're like super armed. They're buying property like on islands.
There's more rules.
You got
you get like one weapon that was made before 1900.
No weapons, just fists.
No weapons. Okay, fists. And the money we make from the Colosseum goes to fund national health care.
It's got to be Eastern Promises style. Everyone's nude.
Everyone's nude, yes.
Just that.
Because then you'll get those people like, well, I don't want to do it. It's like, well, then that's a forfeit.
Yeah.
Fine, just take my money. I don't want you to see my little dick.
the purge is seeming more and more cool. Like,
But look at what happens when you have, like, even countries where you have such an imbalance between, like, economic imbalance. Like wealthy people in Brazil, there's a class of people who are like, I have to take a helicopter.
Right.
Because if I drive on the street, someone will try and kidnap me.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Wow.
It's like, well, then, you know...
That's and what how even worse economic inequality looks like.
Yeah, when someone sees somebody in a Benz and goes, that's my paycheck.
Right.
Like, yeah. I'm going to fucking, I'll figure it out. I'll kidnap you and I'll do what I need to do because this is what it's come to.
Well, let's talk about a society that has it all figured out, folks.
Mm-hmm.
China.
The Care Bears?
Oh. China.
Yeah, China.
So the Chinese government has basically access to every one of the faces of the people who live inside their country, a picture of every one of their faces. They've ingested that into facial recognition algorithms, essentially. So they have the best facial recognition technology, period, because they just have more iterations. They have more faces.
More data.
And one of the ways they're using that is they've just unveiled a 500 megapixel cloud camera system in China that they say is capable of capturing the facial details of each individual in a crowd of tens of thousands of people and immediately identifying them.
Well, this is going to be weird. I just bought tickets to Shanghai.
Right.
Is weed illegal there?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the purge and weed, should we talk about what we learned yesterday, that Milwaukee used to have a weed purge?
Oh, yeah.
They did?
No, it was an anecdotal about how was it Madison?
Yeah, that there was one city in Wisconsin, like, where weed was legal for a day. And, like,
it sounded like a wives' tale.
Yeah. But one of our engineers said he used to go to it, like, in the 80s.
Right. Oh. Well, hey, look, Zeit Gang, if you know the myth of the legal weed day in Wisconsin, let us know.
Weed purge. I'll go.
I want that.
Yeah.
Okay, about faces.
Right.
Do we all just start wearing V for Vendetta style masks? Like, is
Rorschach,
it time?
Yeah. Rorschach. Or yeah. Like how...
Rorschach mask.
I think because the hard part is, right, the shit that really gets you is the certain spacings between your eyes and things that you cannot fundamentally change even with plastic surgery.
Right.
So, and I know at one point Juggalo makeup was fucking up certain facial recognition systems. But that wasn't the kind... Yeah. Also,
let's be Juggalos.
I bet a fierce contouring job would also maybe fuck up the camera.
Right.
But like aggressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
They're
saying that's what the thing about the Juggalo makeup was doing. It was obscuring where the cheeks began. So like it couldn't quite find those points on your face.
Okay.
But that was a system that isn't as refined as these other ones. It's like, no, what's the distance between your eyes and this point in your mouth or whatever? Like, you can't fucking change that shit.
We can all become drag queens.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if you did like wild kimchi style makeup.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me you're going to find me with that.
No way you're going to find me. I can paint my face to look like a dragon.
That would be a viral video or like an ex RuPaul's Drag Race challenge. Can your geesh be so fierce that a facial recognition system couldn't even clock you?
Wait, this is a good mini challenge.
Yeah.
I love it. And there's then the maxi challenge is, 1984, the house down.
Right.
Can your fashion survive an Orwellian future?
Right.
There's also the face screen things that make you look like you're riot control police.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like kind of fashionable in certain countries.
Yeah.
Well, what's
what was Homegirl's name who gave up the goods on Sterling at the Clippers? Viviano. Remember, she was rocking that mask.
Viviano.
She kind of made that like a flex when it's like, ooh, controversy? Mm-hmm. Throw on the blast shield.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I mean, what can we do? What choices do we have?
I mean,
insist on like actual laws to kind of give us some semblance of privacy. But I think, obviously the, we'll see where that goes.
Right?
Democracy.
Yeah.
We gotta save democracy.
I mean, because these are all technologies that are eventually, like, sure, this is the thing. This is the subtle creep of this kind of fascism, right? Is on one hand, you can be like, well, this is going to help us keep protected because we don't want wild motherfuckers out here. We can pick them out at Coucharula when you go to the festival now.
Right.
Or we'll find people we find to be, you know, subversive personalities or something, and we'll just swoop you up because we're like, I think you were talking shit.
Right.
And what were you saying again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And all of us in this room, like, we fundamentally expose ourselves extra because we want to communicate with.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, that was fulsome fair. Yeah, that was its own thing. But, like, we fundamentally want to expose ourselves because we want to connect with other people in the world. You know what I mean? Just even with podcasts, you're like, I'm exposing myself because I want to connect right. with other people who are like-minded, which means you're out there even more.
Right. It's like, oh, well, you've created a dossier for us. Right.
Yes.
We love the Daily Zeitgeist, sir. I'm like, right? Come with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not to think that this show's that important.
They'll be
I would love for that. That would be validation.
That would be cool.
If the police state nabs me up for subversive behavior.
They're going to be able to use our voices. Like, we have enough on wax.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, an hour-long phone conversation gives you enough on wax.
This is
like,
why it's good to just say wild shit all the time. Because right. you could be like, yo, my honor, my client says wild shit all the time.
Right, exactly.
Like he talked about rubbing broken glass on his ass.
Did
in
you?
Prior episodes. Yeah, I think I said that.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
You gotta keep him guessing.
I hear ya. Gotta confuse him.
If I'm crying wolf all the time, you know what I mean?
I like that.
I mean, that's kind of Trump's strategy.
Right? Oh!
Oh no.
Have you been Trump this whole time?
Yeah, just take off my mask.
Dig it. What a reveal. All right, well, speaking of rubbing broken glass on your ass. let's talk real briefly about an upcoming boxing match that I would rather rub broken glass on my ass than
yeah, again, in watch. The continuing exaltation of our shittiest people, we talked about how, you know, bagel boss guy Chris Morgan was going to fight Lenny Dykstra. Lenny Dykstra pulled out because he's trying to win a bigger case with the LAPD. And they found a replacement in the form of Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. Screech.
Yeah.
Screech Powers. Samuel Powers. And then reffed by Dwight Gooden.
For some reason.
Who, I mean, hey, great Mets team.
Yeah, great Mets team.
Great Mets team. A lot of
coke. One of the greatest talents of all time. And
was that whole World Series side powered by cocaine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man.
Wow.
And so Dwight Gooden is from the New York Mets.
Dwight Doc Gooden
was, I think he was a rookie in 86 and just like incredible fastball pitcher who was just flying.
Okay.
For a lot of his rookie season, I think.
And he's going to kick Dustin Diamond's ass or he's reffing?
He's reffing. It's just a weird added level. I think they're doing that because it's such a New York thing. Like, Dwight Gooden isn't going to pull numbers in Vegas or L.A. New York, they like weird Mets fans are like,
right.
Hey, fuck, let's go see Doc Gooden ref this match between the shame of Suffolk County, Long Island.
And then who's kicking Dustin Diamond's ass? Because he's surely going to die.
The bagel boss guy.
The bagel
Remember
boss.
Remember him from Twitter? The Vaguely. Short guy who was like, you're not my dad or my God or my boss.
And what?
And he was yelling, really mad at women.
Who was saying like, they say I should die because I'm short? On these dating apps? And people are like, my man, who the fuck told you that? He's like, all women. And then this dude just bodies him.
Right.
That's how the video clip ends. Where he's like, he's literally like 5'3 or something. And this bigger dude's like, yo, you need to calm the fuck down. Like, stop talking to these people crazy. And he's like, what are you going to do? The dude shows him what he's going to do. And puts his ass on the ground. And then he became like famous for being this toxic mini misogynist.
Whoa.
Right. Yeah.
Napoleon complex.
Yeah.
Not at all. Know. And incel, you know? Blaming everyone, like, you know, I couldn't believe no one was attracted to your personality of screaming at a bagel shop because someone behind the counter snickered at you don't know what, but because your narcissism has put your worldview is like, well, everything's about me.
Right? Yeah.
Shit. Well, Mono, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thanks for having
me. This was a lot of fun.
Let me know what other disparaging comments I can say about Dustin Diamond because I do think he's a disgusting loser.
Yeah. Well, what was the last thing?
That's why we're ending right now because we do not accept that sort of shit about Dustin Diamond.
And they're rebooting SABTC, which I added some letters to. But they're rebooting that. So that'll be interesting to see how he tries to sneak his way into that.
Well, so far it's just Burke, Elizabeth, it's Jesse. And AC Slater, who are confirmed.
Right, confirmed.
But we do know that Zach Morris will be the governor of California, according to the weird log line stuff.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's so confusing.
That's very confusing, but I live for Mark Paul Gosar.
Maybe it's like a Spin City style thing. Was the mayor ever in, or the governor, or whoever the politician was he in the show on Spin City?
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't
or
know.
Or was it just about... Isn't that funny that was like a fun, charming job you could have was like spinning the news back in the day.
Professional liar.
Woo-hoo. Right? It's back when Nazis were like...
Yeah.
Like silly again. Yeah. Like it's disgusting, like, but we were like, oh, remember that? And now they're
bad
fucking
guys
back.
In video games if you didn't want to make them supernatural.
Exactly.
You just do like, Nazis, I guess?
Right. It was seen as in the past.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Mono, okay, thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at my name on social media, at Mono Agapian.
Okay.
ManoAgapion. Woo! And you can listen to my podcast on HeadGum called Drag Her. I talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a really good time. We're about to talk about the UK Drag Race, which I'm excited about. That's coming out. I don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, I've been there. I've seen some drag there. I know there's more singing in
they have
the
more
UK.
Classical training. Probably.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sing more than they lip sync, and I know the look is a little less important than it is here. But we'll see. Maybe they'll prove us wrong or right on that. Really excited about that. And crazily, I have another podcast on Patreon called We Love Trash. Listen to that. Find us there.
What's the premise there?
We talk about all things trash. Food, reality TV, bad movies, weird celebrities, hot guys, all the trash.
Hot Love historical trash. Figures who created psychology tests.
Yeah.
And my drag podcast is with Nicole Byer, and my trash podcast is with Betsy Sodaro.
Hell yeah.
They're both angels and perfect. Find me there. Truly.
Yeah.
So find me there.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, bitch.
Oh, yes. Let's see. Let's see. Someone.
That's that one you showed me.
Yes. It was from BHADDAD. Let's see. BHADDHAD. It's so stupid. I think the caption reads, Mrs. Potato Head, ayo, where my eyes go. And then, okay, the video says, Andy's mom in her room. This is the only important part. It's a woman with a gigantic ass who has stuck giant googly eyes upon her ass and is twerking and jiggling about, and it is heaven.
Each cheek has one googly eye, and she's making it clap, so the eyes are truly...
But like very large googly eyes.
Very.
I don't know where you even get googly eyes that big.
Supersized.
I wonder if she made them. Like, she's so about her art. She's like, I actually had to fabricate these myself.
Shout out to Casper Baby Pants.
Mesmerizing.
Huh?
What? That's Casper Baby Pants.
What? No, don't worry about
that. Is that a stealth
ad? No, that's the artist who recorded Googly Eyes.
Oh.
The children's song.
Oh.
It's wonderful and mesmerizing. You gotta find it.
Yes.
I'm blown away. I've never seen something so sexual and stupid at the same time.
Right.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see. A tweet that I like. This one's from Reductress. Classical, just great one-liner. Why I don't masturbate until 10 p.m. like the Europeans.
Great.
Oh, hold on. One more, too, from Reductress, because it's actually very relevant. Quiz, which Succession character are you terrified to find yourself rooting for?
Terrified. That's really funny. Good. Yeah, that's real.
At Drill tweeted, my billionaire friend smoking in an alleyway with leather jackets and slick back hair trying to peer pressure me into doing pedophile sex.
What?
And Jessica Pilot tweeted, I would describe the fashion in LA as people in their 30s and 40s dressing like the children they don't have.
Oh, yes.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Okay, so this is a track from Mick Jenkins, the MC, but it's featuring, he's being backed by the great Canadian new jazz crew, Bad Bad Not Good. This one's called Smoking Song.
Yeah, this song's dope.
So you know what I mean? Get smoking legally, you know? Or cigarettes.
Get smoking
if you're an
like,
adult.
Like the mask?
Whatever, yeah. Smoke. Oh, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Shout out to Stanley Ipkiss.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
Remember that mask line?
Oh, yeah. Oh, do not go in there.
Doing Jim Carrey lines in like a real
hey, do not go
way.
In there, huh? Woo.
Woo. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend. Try not to
die from the onslaught of news that will surely be coming down on all of us.
Ignore all news and then, you know, wake up with some Monday with Folgers in your cup. Hashtag ass.
Storms are brewing.
Can I ask you a few questions?
I'm gonna raise my way. You know I came just to smoke. Back was a thing of the past now. Papers I sprinkled the hash now. Would crumble if I couldn't concentrate. Shattered perceptions, I got the jewels. And that shit ain't never from concentrate. Got through security with contraband. I'm on my door like underlay. Step in the spot and they eyeing me. Corny is snatching a pyramid. Cotton mouth to get you soon enough. Wake up and realize the moon.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.